A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
In researching this case, I discovered something that I think is like one of the coolest things I've ever heard. Today we're going to talk about a case in Hillsborough County, Florida. The sheriff's office has a podcast to release details on unsolved cases.
Okay.
That way, their hopes is that you will help them solve them if they put out the narrative that they think is all fact.
Fascinating.
I love it. I'm obsessed.
Yeah. I can't wait to know more. Maybe I'll be just as obsessed.
And the thing is, though, like, I listened to a couple interviews with the family, right? Then, in doing my research, I found this podcast, and it change the perspective of how I feel about the case. So let's just dive in. Today we're going to talk about Kaya Taylor.
Okay.
Kaya was born in 1991 to mom and dad. Mom has been pretty vocal in the media. Dad has not, but siblings on dad's side have been. Mom and dad got divorced or broke up. There's not a whole lot there. Maybe they weren't married. I don't know. Either way, Kaya grew up with two homes.
I see, yeah.
As a kid, Kaya was bubbly, smart, happy. She loved the outdoors and being a tomboy and loved makeup.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people like that.
And I love it. Like,
yeah.
Either way.
Who cares about gender norms and stereotypes and stuff?
So she was close to siblings, and I hate this phrase, but I kind of think she saw her families as, like, separate but equal. Like, she was super close to mom and that side, super close to sibling on dad's side.
Right, right. I love that.
Me too.
If only it could always be that way, right?
For sure. So, mom is pretty honest that as a teen and adult, Kaya tried drugs and struggled with some sort of addiction. Not like, and again, this is on a scale of addiction, not like rehab, but definitely
okay.
Used drugs. They don't elaborate what kind, but it sounds like she has sort of gotten her life in a track that she was happy with, wasn't using. So mom lived in Dade City, Florida, but Kaya had been staying with her boyfriend in Plant City, Florida, which is about 45 minutes from mom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from what I read via multiple articles, Kaya and her boyfriend were on again, off again. And by the way, the media nor law enforcement has released any names in this case because there are no suspects and no anything.
Oh, boy.
Right. So I'm going to use titles like friend, mom, dad, boyfriend.
I get it, but I can't believe you had to tell me that right at the beginning.
I know. I'm sorry. From what I'm gathering from multiple articles and multiple statements, Kaya and her boyfriend were on and off again, okay? Which is, not for nothing, pretty normal. Kaya was staying between her mom's, a couple friends, her boyfriends. So although she quote-unquote lived with her boyfriend, she really didn't. He had a place that she stayed at sometimes.
Yes.
And I just think that's important because in some of the articles, they're like, oh, well, it's the house she lived at with her boyfriend. No. That's not what... It's just a different... It's not her home, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to read you a quote from mom. Right at the beginning of 2020, she was doing responsible adult things that would give me the impression she was ready to be somewhere and not to book somewhere and say, I never want to speak to you, mom. This was her safe haven here, her house, me, and her families. She leaned on us for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, February 6th, 2020. Now, this next section, well, actually, everything I'm going to tell you until I tell you it's not is verified in multiple articles and by the police or the sheriff's office.
Okay. Okay. All right, good.
So, February 6, 2020, Kaya drops her boyfriend off at his house. It says his house. It's not. It's his friend's house. But a lot of places say it's his. I don't know if that meant he, like, stayed there sometimes. I don't know. There's not a lot of, like, real clarity. Like, I have a lot of questions in this case, which makes me bonkers, but whatever. Around 4 p.m., okay? This is a Thursday, 4 p.m., drops her boyfriend off. Now, police have interviewed, I'm going to say right up here, the boyfriend, his friend, and the friend's parents, who are the homeowners. The parents had no interaction with her, but they saw her leaving.
Makes sense.
Which I feel like is a completely normal statement. The boyfriend and the friend claimed that she was acting erratic.
Okay, that's not what I saw coming, but here we are.
And this is the one and only time this comes up, but I'm going to say it here. They say that she was possibly going through a mental crisis. And that's a direct quote.
I sometimes wonder if we use mental crisis really loosely. Like, sometimes young people not yet have managed their emotions quite like a adult would.
Well, she is 28, but I agree with you.
Okay, fair. But I do think that sometimes people get really passionate or angry or upset about something and don't handle it the best way, or in a way that people make judgments. And that doesn't necessarily constitute like a mental crisis.
So I don't know if this is totally unrelated, but like, have you watched Real Housewives ever? If you watch a show like that where they get in a fight, they are all going through a mental crisis because none of them handle it in an adult manner. So I emphasize your point.
Yes, I just think, like, when people hear mental crisis, they hear, like, breakdown where you're near delusional or whatever. And maybe that's just an assumption, but that's just what my takeaway of what people think is going on. But sometimes you just have real lows.
Amy.
And you don't behave in an appropriate way sometimes. And does that constitute something like a mental breakdown? I don't know. Just up for a discussion.
And that when I read that and then heard it, I was like, it's interesting that's how they categorize it, because I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler later. After she left dropping her boyfriend off, she talked to a friend who categorized her as very upset.
Okay.
Which to me is not a mental crisis. That's just being upset.
Correct.
So I think a lot of it is people's perception of whatever it is.
And that's just it. You know, how comfortable are people sitting in really intense emotions with other people?
Agree. Okay, so 4 p.m. We drop the boyfriend off. Friend sees her. She's quote-unquote going through a mental crisis. Quote-unquote, who knows? And that was the last time that she was ever seen.
That was very abrupt. Okay.
Yes. There's a lot left, but...
Okay.
So, the same day, at around 7 p.m., a call comes into police dispatch. And it's a person driving, and they're like, hey, I'm driving on Trapnell Road, which is a pretty well-traveled road, according to multiple sources. And there's a railroad track that's an active railroad track. And they're like, hey, there's a car parked across the railroad track. And I stopped thinking they were broken down and I was going to offer to, like, help push the car off the tracks at the very least.
Yes, please do.
It's running and no one's in it. And there's no one here.
That's also scary.
Right. So the sheriff's office says, don't touch it. And they dispatch a sheriff's deputy and actually also a Plant City police officer. They both respond. What I gather is one responded and one saw it and stopped to see if there was assistance required. Either way.
Reasonable.
Right. Either way, they kind of survey the scene. It's a running car. It's parked on the tracks. There's no people around. So they first of all realize that, like, this is a public safety issue because if a train comes, so they move the car off the tracks and they secure it.
I hope minimal disruption. See, oh boy. Hindsight's always 20/20 for starters, so we've got that going for us.
Right, and you have to recall there's no missing persons case. There's no anything. It's just a car.
I know. I totally get it, but I couldn't help my first thought to be, please minimally disrupt this abandoned car for risk of contaminating.
I know, and I saw your face like, oh geez. So they secure the car, and they essentially just like file a report and let it be. They think that like it's a breakdown or maybe something's wrong with it, whatever it might be. Right?
Got it.
And I don't think you can fault them for that because...
No, and let me make that super clear. I definitely made a judgment, but it was... And that's why I said hindsight's always 20/20, because in that moment, you're not going down the list of potential reasons why the car's there. You're trying to take care of what's on top, which is danger.
Exactly. So I also want to point out here that she's an adult, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kaya's an adult, and she's 28. And she's staying with friends and family. Her boyfriend is on again, off again. She has two separate families. And why I'm saying this is it means that there's a lot of consistent people in her life, but there's no consistent routine.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't come home, your partner or your children would notice day one.
Yes.
That you didn't come home. If you don't have a consistent home or whatever it might be, it may take a little bit longer.
Yeah, because the assumption is, oh, they're staying somewhere else.
Exactly. So February 9th, 3 days later.
Okay.
The mother of her boyfriend is out driving on Trapdale Road. And she looks over and notices Kaya's car, a 2000 Toyota Solaris, parked on the side of the road. She calls her son and is like, what's up? Like, what's going on? And her son is like, I have no idea. And he drives right up there. On the way, he's calling her friend in Lakeland that she was supposed to be staying with. And when he gets a hold of her and she says, I haven't seen her either, she drives down too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of like the alarm bells, right? Like now everyone's going, wait a second. No one has talked to her. They essentially all converge at her car. I want you to sit tight for a second here. They decide the best thing to do was to let her mom know what's going on. So they want Kaya's mom to know that, like, no one's heard from her. So they call AAA to unlock the car, and they drive it to her mom's house.
I understand. I do. But I sigh.
She not only sighed, she put her head in her hands and, like, was like, oh no, oh no. And yes, I mean, so, again, you and I and our listeners and Caitlin and basically, like, anyone that's interested in true crime knows that at that point you're saying, no, police need to process it, we need to tow it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right?
Sure.
If you just think her keys are in it and something is wrong and you're not a true crime knowledgeable or focused person, I understand the logic of get it to her mom's and get her mom involved.
I do. And I don't know that I would have done anything different if that were happening in my life. Again, we know now because you said this is 2020 February. So, you know, 2 years later.
Exactly. At that point, when they get to Kaya's mom's house, they kind of like look through the car. And her purse, debit card, and cell phone are all there. Mom at that point really realizes, like, something is wrong. And February 10th, 2020, a missing persons case is filed. Now, I will say, credit to Hillsborough County, they immediately dive in.
Good.
And there's no, like, she's an adult, she can leave, like, it's immediate. Also, family starts a media blitz.
Which goes to show that it is a police officer's choice, right?
100%.
It's not like we have to follow the books here.
Right. Like I said, family starts a media blitz. They start doing interviews. Both mom and then Natasha on her dad's side, her sister, is pretty vocal also. So they sort of become her voice in the media. Police immediately take the phone and they take the car and they process it. Now, there are no fingerprints outside of Kaya's, her boyfriend's, her friend, and her mom's, which the police were saying in the podcast. I obviously listened to the sheriff's office podcast about it, right? And because I want to hear the sheriff from his voice telling us what's the deal. And he was like, honestly, all of those could, like, were expected to be there. So they download the phone, verify contacts, calls. They end up finding out the last call was to her friend, which the house was she was staying at in Lakeland, to which she didn't show up at. And the friend said that Kaya did sound distraught or upset, which is a different categorization than a mental break or a mental crisis.
Yes.
At that point, the sheriff's office did extensive searches, cadaver dogs, tracking dogs. They have interviewed her boyfriend. They've interviewed her friends. There's no leads, no information. There's no one suspected in the case. February 20th, 2020, 2 weeks to the day after Kaya went missing, police did something that I think is pretty interesting. So the 911 call came in at 7 p.m. on the 6th about her car. So police deduced, logically, that had to have happened between, like, 6 and 7, right? Like, it pretty quickly the 911 call came in.
Yeah.
Police went out and printed missing posters and flyers. They went and did a traffic stop on the road near where her car was discovered. Logic being, if people are traveling it today between 6 and 7, they could have been doing it on the way home from work or a normal life. So maybe they were doing it 2 weeks ago and they remember something.
I mean, I think that's perfectly reasonable and I appreciate the way that they were thinking about that.
Me too. And I was actually pretty impressed with that because it's great logic. Like, although they have said it didn't really turn up anything, the fact that they were saying, like, okay, if this is your regular Thursday routine, maybe you saw something, I think is great.
Sure.
Now, the next thing I want to say, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office has questioned Kaya's boyfriend and have found nothing suspicious. Okay? March of 2020. What I'm about to share with you is not verified by law enforcement. It's in a couple media articles, but it's from Kaya's family. About 3 weeks after her disappearance, Kaya's shoes were found on a drainage pipe near the road where her car was abandoned, next to a telephone pole that had a missing persons flyer.
I feel like someone wants that to be noticed.
Kaya's mom thinks they were deliberately placed there. The area had already been searched, etc.
Okay.
I guess now is when I'll tell you that Kaya's family believes her boyfriend is involved.
I'm listening.
Now, none of this is in media, right? This is all from, like, blogs and her sister talking and things like that. So I want to be very clear that, like, this is definitely not a verified fact.
I see. Gotcha.
Kaya was biracial. She was half African-American, half white. Okay?
Okay.
And there were comments that her boyfriend made about her race being less than, I guess, is the best way to, the most politically correct way to say it. Now, this is from, again, from blogs, from whatever. So there's another thing that says that the last call from her cell phone was made to her boyfriend just after 6. He didn't answer, but it was a call. There's also speculation that her boyfriend was involved in drugs, as she was not using and had essentially recovered from a drug abuse addiction. That being said, there's no substantiation of that either. Everything I told you is what law enforcement has released and the media is widely portraying. Now, the officer did say something that I found interesting. He said a lot of people are calling in with their theories, and that's really helpful, except for in a world where they base it on fact and not theories. He needs facts. And it just made me like, huh, that's funny, because what we're going to do now is talk about our theories. Which is exactly an important distinction. Like, we're not going to talk about facts, we're going to talk about our thoughts.
I mean, yes, we talk about our thoughts, but we're not calling law enforcement because we know that they're not grounded in the information that they have that is evidence.
Exactly. So of theories, there are essentially five. There's one that's died by suicide, one that is left her life, the boyfriend, random foul play. And there's a subset of random foul play that I want to get into, but not until later. All right, so what are your first thoughts?
I know we always really struggle with a died by suicide because there are signs, there are no signs. There are common ways to do it and less common ways to do it. At the end of the day, it doesn't always make sense, right? However, in many cases, I still find myself saying, if someone wants to end their life, I don't think they're going to make things super complicated. Like, you're not going to have some huge, elaborate scheme, for the most part. Keywords. So, leaving your car on train tracks and disappearing and things like that makes me think that it wouldn't be die by suicide because that's just too complicated.
I agree.
And I understand that she was upset, but when you're also upset, you want to do something very quick to relieve your discomfort or your pain. So if it's not even suicide that we're talking about, some people will go and drink or use drugs or talk to a friend or, go to the gym. Healthy versus unhealthy things to do, right? It's I got to do this here and now. You're not going to go park your car on train tracks and then go venture off to do something else. I don't think in most cases.
I would agree with you there too.
Okay. So you did say leave your life though.
I don't think it's likely. She was really close to her family, but I don't think you rule it out.
Right. So I can't say died by suicide or leaving your life is off the table, and hardly ever do I think we ever really can, but I give them not a whole lot of bearing.
I agree with you. That leaves us with essentially foul play, right? And then it's a matter of, is it the boyfriend or is it something random? Now, a lot of, like, I have a Reddit thread up right now, and they're like, was she followed from her boyfriend's best friend house and forced into another vehicle? Did something happen at the boyfriend's best friend's house and someone else abandoned her car? And these are all on a Reddit thread posted in the Unsolved Mysteries, whatever. Here's my issue with all of that.
Can I ask you a question really fast before you...
Sure.
There's no, like, accidental met harm. You know, like, how do I put it? For example, she's upset. You know, she might even be with someone. And then she hops out of her car. It just happened to be on train tracks. And goes walking away in a fit of anger. Or she's just really frustrated or upset. And then something accidentally happens to her. Not necessarily, like, succumbing to the elements where it's either cold, even though it's February, but or not, but just you get lost and you can't find your way out of somewhere. Is that anywhere?
No.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm happy to discuss that because I think that's something that's actually viable. I think that's more likely than dying by suicide, truthfully.
Fair, but if someone was with her and they had nothing to hide, unless fear that they would be named, then I would think they would say, yeah, we got into an argument and she took off.
For sure. Now, the only thing that I take issue with is law enforcement believes the parents of the best friend are credible. So even if you say the boyfriend and the best friend may have something to do with it, law enforcement believes the parents are credible, which means the parents verify that she drove away from their home after dropping off the boyfriend and the best friend, or the boyfriend to the best friend's house, rather, sorry. So Kaya was very much alive and alone at 4 p.m.
Yep.
Is it possible that they jumped in another car and followed her and ambushed her? Sure, but then my question would be, are the parents going to cover for maybe their kid, but their kid's best friend?
No. No.
Right. I agree with you there.
Yeah, I kind of strongly feel like no. No.
So does that mean the boyfriend has an alibi? Which means we're back to square one?
Oh, boy. I knew this was going to get complicated somewhere.
Right. Exactly. Now, I want to say, according to the same Reddit post, law enforcement says there is no suspect and no one has been ruled out, which basically means they know nothing.
Yeah.
And, right, like, it's not the boyfriend, but we can't say it's not the boyfriend. We don't think it is, but we can't say for sure it's not, right? Like, and that's sort of where we are, too. Mm-hmm. Also, the boyfriend's best friend's dad was in the house the whole time. So, like I said, is he willing to be like, oh, yeah, they were here, if they weren't?
No, is it possible to get days confused? Because we are missing days before things happen.
Yeah. But I do want to say there's one other thing that does come up in a Reddit thread, and it's sort of where I want to discuss something else with you.
Okay.
There is a theory that she was pulled over by someone pretending to be a police officer.
Why? So I've heard of this in or around different places in the United States. But why did this come up on this case?
I think this came up, and this is not from law enforcement. This is literally from, like, people speculating. But trying to make sense of why she would pull over and leave all of her belongings in a vehicle on a main road.
Yeah, like an officer would say, get out of the car. Because if she was pulled against her will, there might have been some disruption in the cabin of the car. Okay. Yes.
Right. And it's if she was kidnapped from the car in a public scene, right? Because that's a pretty busy road.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be someone that, A, is not going to rise suspicion, right? It's not four men wearing ski masks, right? Because let's be realistic. That'll be noticed. And that was just a joke. Like, not a joke, but you know what I mean. That's an exaggeration.
Hmm.
But it has to be someone that can stop her car, have her get out, maintain calm control of the situation.
So, my next question would be, are there any other cases of anything similar to this in the area? Because someone who goes through the effort to get some type of police vehicle, looking police vehicle, someone who gets some type of uniform, takes the risk, and even perhaps has like a badge, is not going to do this once and be done. There's too much preparation and risk to be taken for this to be like a one-off thing. And the only other option if it was like a true active police officer, but I don't think I'm willing to go that far.
Oh, here we go again. You mean because he didn't drop them off at the Circle K that no one saw them at?
I was thinking of that exact case. Those two cases, yes. But different story. But yeah, my first thought is it's got to be someone impersonating. I hope it's not an active duty police officer.
So I actually am going to tell you something that you don't know yet. I think I'm going to steal your next recording slot, and I'm going to do a case for next week. Because although police have not, I'm going to read this direct quote, okay? Police have not declared either missing person case the result of foul play, nor have they made a connection between the two disappearances. We have no information at this time that would link them together. However, both cases are similar and ongoing. There is another case.
No, sir. See, I've been doing this podcast long enough to know patterns when I see them. A little bit. Still armchair detective.
It's about 7 miles apart.
That's really close.
She left her house. I don't want to get into it because I'm going to do it next week.
Okay.
But there is a possibility there are more cases and they are connected.
I hate that. Because how on earth are you going to catch someone?
I know. Well, the sheriff's office says that there's no information saying they are connected. Except for they are both females in the same area that have gone missing in a pretty short time period, like 3 weeks, that are either biracial or minority. It's just an interesting.
I don't like this one bit.
Again, they're not related.
I know.
So we have to treat them as such.
I hear you.
But I think, like, we're not talking a Bardstown conspiracy, right? But I think that, like, it's kind of like the we did a Patreon bonus on the men of Boston, right? Men that there's a obscene amount of men that have gone missing into bodies of water in Boston. To completely rule out any sort of connection, I think is irresponsible. But to focus on only a connection is also irresponsible. I think you just need to be aware there are other cases that may or may not be connected that are similar until we have a link. Or not a link.
And you're going to make us aware, right?
Oh, of course. Next week.
Unbelievable.
But if you take that out, I think we have to, in my opinion, we have to land on foul play. I'm just not willing to go as far as the family is and say I think it's the boyfriend.
So basically, we can't even land on a theory until you present this next case. Like, we can roughly land on one.
No. I think we can because police have said they're not connected.
Okay. I mean, so I think it's foul play.
Right. And now I think if we're going to talk about a specific suspect, sure, we need to talk about the next case. But if it's someone personal to her or... I think we had split foul play in half, right? Random or personal. If it's random, sure, we have to wait till next week and keep talking. If it's personal, it has nothing to do with the other person.
I don't discount that it could be personal, but I don't feel like I have enough to feel confident landing there.
I sort of feel the same way. Like, I feel like I have to know more about... I have to have more verifiable information about the boyfriend.
Right.
Because I know the family is pretty focused on him. And I get it, right? Like, he wasn't welcome at the mom's house. There was an on again, off again. It sounds like the relationship when it was off was not great, but when it was on was great. Which is pretty normal for a relationship. But family wasn't sure. A fan. So I get it, right? I totally understand it. That doesn't mean... Just because they're not in a great relationship doesn't mean he's going to do something to her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. This is what Melissa does, folks.
I'm sorry. As I got to, like, the end of one of the articles and I saw another name, I was like, hold on. So then I started diving into that one, and I was, you know.
No, I appreciate it. Sometimes links aren't seen, and they should at least be looked at enough to rule it out. So I guess for now, I land on a random foul play. I'm not feeling 100% on the boyfriend, although it seriously could be something like that. Now that I know there's another case, I want to hear more before I confidently land.
I respect that.
Well, I certainly appreciate your hard work in doing a case and then deciding I'm just going to plug forward and take the next slot.
Yeah. Well, I have to do it while it's fresh on our minds, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it. Do you want to open it up?
Yes. Tell us what you think. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your theories. And I'll be back next week with sort of a new case.
All right. Thanks, Melissa.
Bye. Bye.
Information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.